Thank you, Jesus. Just a quick change for those announcements. The women's meeting is postponed due to Sister Enda's homegoing service, her life celebration. Right, Danny? Do we have a date that we're changing it to yet, or we're just postponing it? So, ladies, don't sign up or show up, because we're all going to be showing up at the First Baptist Church to honor Enda Williams. Amen.
11 a.m.
Come on up here. 11 a.m. at the Baptist Church. And so we'll be honoring her on that day. Praise the Lord. Mr. Allen's doing well, and so we're grateful for that. And here's Danny for the offering word.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wow. That was some anointed worship. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Who's excited to give this morning? Amen. How many of you have been reading the chronological Bible? So I have also been participating in reading the chronological Bible, and yesterday, before I even got into it, I saw where I was at in the scripture, and I've been doing this thing that I call the thought of the day. And basically, I'm taking one thought of each scripture each day and meditating on that thought. And so before I even got into my reading, the Lord said to me, "You are what you behold. You birth what you behold. You birth what you behold." And I was like, all right, I haven't even got there, but I know where we're going then. And I was like, man, that's so good, Lord. And so he began to speak to me about that on some things. And I'm talking to him about, okay, the offering word, Lord, where are we going? What are we doing? And he said, "You birth what you behold." And so in Genesis chapter 30, we see Jacob, who is living with his uncle Laban, who also happens to be his wife's father. I know something about that. Anyways, as they're living there, he realizes it's time for me to go back to my father's country. It's time for me to leave and go back. And so what he does is he says, "Laban, I would like to take with me all of the streak, speckled, and spotted flock, and you keep all of the others." And so Laban's like, okay. And so he goes in, clears out all of the streak, speckled, and spotted flock, and he gives them to his sons in a faraway land. And so now, all of this that Jacob thought he would be taking with him is gone. But there's something specific we see about the patriarchs in the beginning of the Bible. Every single one of them were extremely prosperous because God was with them. God was with them, and this is what caused them to be prosperous. Now, can I tell you something? That not one of them, God was with them because they did not participate back with him. You see, there were other people who knew God. There were other people in these times who were aware of God. But these people said, no, I honor this covenant. As you honor me with your covenant, I am honoring you in response in that covenant. And so they participated with God. This is an important part. Because the next thing he does is he says, okay, I am going to go to the place where they water and they mate. What is that? The place where they drink and they create. They drink and they create. And he begins to take these branches and he puts streaks in them. He begins to carve things in them and puts it before their eyes where they drink and they create. And as I was seeing this, the Lord was telling me, you see, the thing with finances is people think, well, the Bible and scripture is a church thing, but when it comes to finances, they put their eyes on the natural world and how the natural world produces and how the natural world gets finances and how the natural world thinks about finances. And that's a natural thing. So we should look to the natural world to do that. But the truth of the matter is, what you behold is what you birth. So if your eyes are set on the way that the world does finances, what you're going to reap in your life is the way that the world does finances. But if you will set your eyes to what the kingdom of God says is right to do finances, you will begin to receive the things of the Spirit, the things of the kingdom back into your life. You begin to receive God's way of doing things, God's way of thinking things. Do you know he went out there, it ends up saying he had two entire camps full. Two entire camps full, that when he met up with his brother Esau, he had half of them go one way and half of them go another, and still gave out of his flocks three separate times to his brother, not even reducing what he would consider a great and prosperous flock, and still gave three separate times to his brother, submitting before him. Think about that. Think about the multiplication that happened in his life. Why? Because he participated with God. Because what he beheld was the promise of God. And you know that because he comes before God and he says, you have promised to me that you would be kind. That word kind doesn't mean nice. That word kind means hesed. It means you will honor the covenant. Well, what does the covenant say? I will empower you to prosper for my name's sake. He is empowering you to prosper for his name's sake. It is an opportunity as we tithe, and it is an opportunity as we give, that we would increase in the things of the kingdom, not because we have to get rich to buy six boats. I mean, if the Lord says buy six boats, I don't see anything wrong if he's telling you to do that. Maybe you have a boat ministry. I don't know. But it's because when we do have those things, it blesses the kingdom of God. People reach out and say, there's something happening there. I want to say one more thing to you. I want to say to you that, do you know that it is known that what you behold of yourself is what you will become. And I want to finish with just this one thing right here. How many of you know that it is extremely common to find a prosperous Jew? Why? Because they expect it. Because they expect it. They don't think that it is a okay thing, that it is the right thing. They expect it. Anyone else in here seen a princess movie? Like they do the princess swap thing where the princess and then the normal girl swap places. And when the princess leaves, she expects people to treat her like they treated her in the palace. Can I tell you, you are a royal citizen of the kingdom of heaven. It should be your expectation that as you navigate this earth, you are operating as a kingdom citizen. You are not merely human. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, an heir of the greatest kingdom that ever was, ever is, and ever will be. That should be your expectation. That should be the kingdom you participate in. So right now you are being given an opportunity to participate with heaven. You're being opportunity to say, I want to partner with you, God. You are my source, my supply. You are the one in whom I trust. You are the one in whom I believe. I trust you over anything the world could ever tell me. I trust you over anything the banker could ever tell me. I trust you over what my bank account can tell me. I trust you over what some investment stockholder could tell me. I trust you over any advisor, and I listen and I'm keen to your guidance. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for every tither and every giver in the room. Father, we thank you that your blessing is abounding on them. We thank you, Lord, for increase in their accounts. Father, I thank you for increase in their accounts, that they are able to take your ability supernaturally upon them and bless mankind. Father, I thank you that there is a supernatural work taking place in each and every member of this body's finances today. I thank you, Lord, that the things they've been believing for are coming in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that the things they've been standing for are coming in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that even the things beyond what they could think or imagine are coming into their hands in the name of Jesus, because you are faithful to your word. You are faithful to them, and you are faithful to do what you said you will do. Amen. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Brothers, if you would receive the offering, if you would like to give online, you can do that by going to our website. You can also text to give by texting VCHL to 73256. Click the link and follow the promptings. Amen.
Ooh, I tell you, we have some men and women in this church that know how to bring the word forth. Amen.
Amen.
So didn't you like Hector in those?
Yeah.
That was pretty cute. So, okay, so Hector, can we just talk about Hector, because he's not in here? Okay, y'all want to? Let's talk about Pastor Hector. So, you know, he's a man's man and goes fishing. He gets up and goes fishing every day. At what time does he get up? Like 4 o'clock or something. He gets up and he goes fishing every day. But he raised all those girls, right? But, you know, right now he's in kids' church.
Wow.
He's back there in kids' church.
Wow.
What a blessing. They do the youth. He does the men. He does all, you know, that kind of stuff. But he's in kids' church. Thank you, Jesus. What a reward that man has. Amen. So be sure and say thank you to him today. Amen. Let's go over to Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews is not a coffee shop, except at the Bethel Church, I guess they used to call theirs. Praise the Lord. Hebrews, got something good for you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Therefore, then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, that sin which so easily, so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance and steady, active persistence, the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source, our author and finisher of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, It is also its finisher, bringing to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. All right. So I was walking on these little narrow streets of Venice with my friend Debfield last summer. And it's really, Venice is really an unusual place. It's, you know, it's, y'all know where I'm talking about, Italy. It's got the water around it and all through it, and there's canals all through it. And so all, everything, there's a few places you could drive cars, but most of it, they're just walking paths. You just have to walk through all these buildings to get to where you're going. And so it's tight, and you go over all these bridges because there's canals everywhere. And so, you know, there's no cars running around. There's boats, but no cars. I mean, we watched them deliver, you know, the drinks and stuff to the hotels and stuff. They're coming on boats, but you're walking. And so, you know, if you have a lot of time, you could just go all over the place. We were only there for 2 days. So we were headed to what we wanted to see. And of course we wanted to see St. Mark's Cathedral there. And we wanted to see the museums with all the Doge, with all the Doge stuff in it. And so, we're headed there. That's where we're going. So on the way, we're walking over a bridge, and all these people, you're getting around them and everything. And I hear this lady shout out to all of her friends, "Let's just get lost. Let's just get lost." Have you heard people say that when they're on vacation? Let's just get lost. Well, you know, It's fun to get lost if you have a lot of time.
Yeah.
But if you don't have a lot of time, it's not fun to get lost. Now, we knew where we were going, and thank God for GPS, right? You know where you're going. And so we got to where we needed to be and got to see what we needed to see. But, you know, I just think that I want to get to where I'm supposed to be when I'm supposed to be there. Okay. So I hope you feel the same way. So we're talking about being dressed for the season. And I believe the season now is more than just a year. It's more that we're not just making some New Year's resolutions. We're talking about more than that. And we're really working on sharpening our tools for the season. And so we spent some time with that. We started way back at Christmas, how to birth your baby dream. We talked about that. Then we talked about goals, how goals work, what being involved, how to make goals. And then we recently talked about what prayer should look like. Well, today I want to talk to you about faith for the future. It might be a little different than you think, because since we are a faith church, we don't need to go over the hows and whys today. I want to go a little bit different place with you, and I think you'll like it. The word said there, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith. And so if you look at the King James, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Okay. Now this is important. So he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. So let's use these words today. He's the beginning and the completion. Okay? We see in the Bible he is the Alpha and the
Omega.
He's the Alpha and he is the Omega. Circles are big to the Jewish people. There's a lot of things in the Bible about them. The Jewish people always end with the song they start with. Do you know that? They do things like that. A circle is a big deal. So if you draw a circle, here's a circle, okay? If you draw a circle and the first point up here at the top, if the first point is the Alpha, mm-hmm. and you follow the circle, where is the Omega?
Same place. Wow.
Yep. Same place. Mm-hmm. It starts and ends in the same place. Okay, the last point comes back up to the top. So the question there then is, how close is the beginning to the end? How close is the beginning to the end? We're talking about faith. Okay? We're talking about faith of the future. How close is the beginning to the end? So, the first to the last, Jesus is then the beginning and the end. He started it and he finished it, and they're in the same place. So we could say that right from the beginning, you have the end.
Wow.
Right? Right from the beginning, you have the end. Okay. Now, That's how a promise or prophecy works. Same thing. They work the same way. The beginning and the end are in one location. So if I give you a thus saith the Lord, then when I said it is also the end of it if you believe it.
Yes. Yes.
If you believe it, that's the end of it. Okay, that's the end of it. The Lord said. The Lord said. If the Lord said, that's the end of it. People say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, that's what they're talking about. If God said it in his word, if the Spirit of God made it known to you, then it's already done. So the author of your faith, whatever you start with, is the finisher of it, so it's done. Now, here's a scripture for you. Listen, this is not up for grabs. It's not up for grabs. There's no wondering who brings the ending. He's the author. He's the finisher. So take the load off. Don't sing the song right now. I know you want to. Okay. Now, so Isaiah 46:10. From the very beginning, telling you what the ending will be, all along letting you in on what is going to happen, assuring you, I'm in this for the long haul, I do exactly what I set out to do. Okay? Remember what I've been telling you? He sees you. He hears you. He cares for you. He knows exactly what you're going through. And he always has an answer to get you out of it. Always. He always has a way, maybe not out of it, into it, or whatever you need. He's in it. And this, I believe the scripture really proves that. So we can know what was, we can know what is, and what will be. Jesus is eternal. Not just no time, all time. Or maybe we'd be better just saying like this, he's out of time. He's stepped up. He's higher than time. He's eternal. Amen. But he can sure work whatever he needs to work in it. Now, so when we get in the spirit, by not leaning on our own understanding, by taking our place in the eternal one, we have access then to eternal truth. This is not hard, because he was and is and is to come. So we have access to all the, every truth that's in eternity. Eternity's not just forward. It's back, present, and forward, okay? We have access to all of that in him. Can you see that? In Christ, in him, in whom we have access to everything in him. Praise the Lord. So you get the truth about the past, you get the truth about the present, you get the truth about the future, because he was and is and he is to come. So in the spirit, if there's something we need to know for clarity about the past and the present and the future, then he shows it here for us to see. We can see it. We can see who we are. For example, since you've been redeemed, Pastor Brandon was actually talking about this the other night, your past is cleaned up. You got saved. Your past got cleaned up. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, amen. Then that gets you a good start down the track, doesn't it? Because you're not all feeling guilty. Praise the Lord. All right. Just an example. So, but the devil, what he does is he lies to you about your past. You did too much bad. You're too bad. And he'll take that past and then he'll hook that on to your present and your future, and say, this isn't going to be any good because, you know, you were worse than the other people. And every one of us in here felt like that. Yeah. Every one of us have felt, I don't know if anybody been as bad as I have. Yeah, we have. But you know what? Jesus redeemed us all. So the devil can get marked off that list. Now also, if there's something like, now just catch this. This is just kind of for fun and easy. But if there's something way back in the Bible that God wants you to understand that you could not get a hold of, he's able to help you with that. If you need to look back and understand some of the things that were written, or maybe you need to look forward and understand the book of Revelation, church. It's not the book of Revelations. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. So you can understand it. I don't understand all that stuff in there. You can. Amen. All right. Are you still with me? Okay. You don't even have to squint. You can see it. You can see it. Praise the Lord. Where's John? Is he in here? So John was looking up something for me, and he's squinting at his phone. He's squinting at it. I said, John, your glasses are hanging right there on you. I don't need them. I guess John has the revelation that Jesus. I'm just playing with you, John. Praise the Lord. I got tickled. He was really squinting. All right. So a few years ago, I went to the Rocky Mountains. I don't know, two or three years ago. Probably 3 years ago. And have you ever been up on the Continental Divide? I've been two places up there. It's amazing, isn't it? Just, I mean, what a view. So we're up on the Continental Divide. And did you know? I'd been before. I'd been like about 11 years before. Did you know that those rocks are still there?
Yeah.
Those mountains are still there. The Rocky Mountains are still there, and the rocks are still rocky.
Yeah.
And they're right there. Amen. You know why? Because that's the nature of a rock. That's the nature of a rock. It doesn't just turn into water. Amen. Jesus is the rock of ages. He's the rock of ages. Isaiah 26:4 says, "Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock." Now, we could go off on a lot of things, you know, water out of the rock, all sorts of things about that. But I'll just tell you that the Hebrew word for rock is olam. O-L-A-M. It means long duration. Long duration. He's the rock. Okay, Isaiah 26:4 again. Trust in the Lord. Commit yourself to Him. Lean on Him. Hope confidently in Him forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. That's another translation. So, this is the description then of who He was, who He is, and who He is to come. He's the rock. First, last, beginning, end, author, finisher. Amen. Politics, culture, styles all change, but not the rock.
Amen.
Methods won't change the message.
Right. That's good.
You can have different methods, but you have the same message. Church has changed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go back to my vacation point here. You're walking in the churches over in Rome, towering ceilings. I don't know how high they are. Can you, anybody who's been and knows? 30-something feet high, more. All of these beautiful things. And now we're looking, you know, up at the chicken wire. We don't get that. Now, you know, y'all don't get upset about the chicken wire. We're improving all the time. But my point is that a lot of churches have just moved into storefront type things, or they're not as fancy, but you know, they're not as elaborate, I'll say. But the message is here.
Yes.
The message is here.
Right.
Jesus is here.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, me personally, I like beautiful architecture. That's what I'm shooting for in our new building.
Yeah.
That's what I'm shooting for. This is just a stepping off place for a little while. But, you know, things do change. Church is different. When I was a kid and we went to church, we had Mr. Hill leading the congregation, and he stood out in the front and did like this. And Miss Nancy played the piano real good. And Miss Nancy could play anything. She could play page 386, 242, and then "Just As I Am" at the end. Am I right?
Yep.
You play "Just As I Am" at the right, or "I Surrender All."
Yeah.
But nowadays, as progression has happened, particularly for spirit-filled people, we're different. We have a different setup. But Jesus is still the same. And He was the same when I was a little girl listening to "Just As I Am" as He is today. He's the same. Amen. I know I'm rubbing that point in, but I want you to know it. So, also, I'll tell you this. When I was in Rome, the last place I stayed over there was about two blocks from the Pantheon. You've been there. Okay, so the Pantheon was, and I believe I'm right. Someone could correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was the first place concrete was used. And it's still standing. Now, the first one burned, but the second guy that came along, his name starts with the H. Think of it. Anyway, he built it back, and he used concrete. in 126 A.D. Still standing? It's beautiful. It works different than anything else. There's a hole in the ceiling, but the rain doesn't come in. It's very unique. And if it does come in, it's barely anything. It's just a little, you know, I don't know how they do that. But there's also, when the sun moves around, it's like a sundial on the floor, on the place. And at certain times, there are people buried in there. And if you pick the right burial place, the sun will just clock right in on you at just the right time. And there's actually a guy who did that. And you'll have to go find out the story. But my point is, that thing's still standing.
Yeah.
And it's standing good.
Yeah.
And so it's made out of solid material. The room I stayed in, the apartment I stayed in, was way older than you'd believe. I mean, I think 1500, something like that. Maybe older than that. So, and there's buildings around there like this one that are old. But they're standing, okay? Mm-hmm. Why am I saying all this to you? Because knowing God and knowing what God is like helps us in our faith. It helps us, let me put it this to you like this. It helps us work with him. It helps us work with him. We can work with God. Amen? So it helps us be consistent in our faith. If he said it was done, then it's done. I said if he said it was done, it's done. Okay. Now, I'm not just talking about personal needs here. Let me just throw something out here. Just think with me on this. Knowing the word with some correct interpretation, which you get by leaning on the Holy Spirit, knowing how to flow with the gifts of the Spirit, knowing how to get in the Spirit, which, by the way, would be praise, worship, and praying in tongues. Amen. If you know that, then if you get a truth from the word of God, you can unlock people's souls. You can unlock them. You can set them free. People can get free because of the knowledge that you have from the rock. Okay? Got it? So it's just not about us believing just what we're believing for. It's about believing for what God's will is on the earth. So, now if you have all these people go free, it sounds like, you know, kind of like you need some keys for that. Well, you do, but they're not from this natural world. The keys to people going free are coming from the spirit side. They're coming out of the word of God. But church, the Bible says you could get the word of God and understand it not, and it would be stolen from you.
Yeah.
Matthew, Mark 4, Matthew 8. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Luke 13. Okay, so understanding. So if you're connected, when you deliver something from the Holy Spirit, then, and people are listening with their spirit ears, they're going to get revelation.
Yes.
Now, Jesus had a whole bunch of people. There could be someone in here today, you would actually walk out and go, we had a sermon on the Pantheon. She talked about her vacations. That's because they only heard me in the natural. But if they heard me in the spirit, they'd hear me telling them that there's someone on their side who already knows, who's already been there, who's already started it, and who's already answered it. And that this one will be your strength like a rock through the whole thing. It depends on how you're hearing it. At church, more and more people are longing and craving to know what can't be accessed with the mind. They want it more and more. They're looking at horoscopes and tarot cards and try to find out what being in the spirit realm really looks like, what the spirit realm knows. You know, listen, we're wired to work with God.
Yeah, that's good.
Who absolutely knows everything. And it's dangerous to tap into things that are not him and don't come by the way of him. Yeah, well, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about that the devil knows facts and crumbs about you that he's heard, not because he can hear you what you're thinking, that he's heard that he feeds to people who do these silly things, and then they'll read your future. That's nothing but evil. Amen. But we're wired to think like him. We're wired to think with him. He wants to lead people into cages. But if we have the truth, the eternal truth, people can go free. Yeah. And if you have the truth, the eternal truth, your faith projects will be fulfilled. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So we work with him from the beginning to the end and what we're believing for, and we work with him to help people. That's my point. So when you use your faith, when you walk by faith, you put your trust in the one who already knows the beginning and the end. You live connected to the eternal realm. You work with the eternal realm. And who are you working for? Well, if you stay in that same chapter that you have your Bible open to in Romans, Hebrews, you're going to see that you work with an innumerable company of angels. You work with the general assembly. You work with the spirits of just men made perfect. You work with God the judge. You work with Jesus the mediator. You work with the blood of Jesus, which speaks better things than vengeance.
Oh yeah.
Okay. You're working with the other realm. We're talking now, we're talking about working with God. We're working with God. This solid rock, we're working with him. You're like, well, we're not supposed to, we don't talk to the dead. You sure don't. But you're still working with them. The cloud of witnesses knows what we're doing. And they're praying, they're working, they're saying, they're working, just like you're working on things in the spirit here, they're working on things in the spirit there. Yeah. And angels are here. And the only reason you don't see them is because they're in the other realm, but they're working with us. They're working with us right now. The blood of Jesus is available here, right now, right now. The wall of the blood, the power of the blood, working with us right now. So what that all boils down to, and maybe I better make this clear. I talk about working with the other side. You don't need to talk to the dead. But you might say, hey, Jesus, tell mom and them I said hi, and he would take that lightly. Okay? Because you're working with the Spirit. So, okay. So don't get too way far out there on that. Now, so we don't consult the dead, but the cloud of witnesses are working with us. So when Jesus said in the beginning, before the foundation of the earth, that he would go and he would redeem us, then it happened right then. Because it says that he was crucified before what? The foundation of the world. So it was already settled and it was already a done deal. Have you ever had someone who worked for you and you said, hey, I need you to run down to Home Depot and get this, and they'll say back to you, done deal, boss.
Yeah.
Because it's already done.
It's already done.
And you know that person's going to carry out the whole thing. Yeah. Already done. Well, thus saith the Lord, ... is already done.
Yeah.
It's already done. Yeah. If you came up for healing today, healing is working in your body right now.
Yeah.
Don't stop it by talking symptoms. Yeah. Just keep saying, Lord, I thank you, I'm healed. Lord, I thank you, I'm healed. Lord, thank you, Jesus, that I'm healed. Amen.
Amen.
Stay in that frame of mind. Amen. Now, so this, what we're trying to do is just get this over to you. You just, once you use your faith, just walk down the path needed. In other words, stay in faith.
Mm-hmm.
I like that right there. Just stay in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then it won't be so hard. Life doesn't have to be so hard. You won't have to play the blame game. Well, it would have worked if they would have. Well, No, you need to keep your eyes on yourself, first of all. Because God will tell you what you need to change. Now, so today, if you're looking at a vision board, how many of you have vision boards? Okay. Your calendar for the year, maybe. I'm just going to challenge you not to make your own plans. Hear from God. Just walk out His plan, and the favor and the divine appointments will be there. They'll be there. Amen. The people you need to know and the people who need to know you. The people you need to know and the people who need to know you. They'll start showing up if you just say, "Yes, Lord, this is what I'm doing. Yes, this is, and if there's anything that maybe something went on that just never could get straightened out, then He's going to start the next chapter. And He'll help you from there. If you just follow Him, just follow Him. It can all be worked out. He'll work it out. Just follow Him. Just follow Him. Well, I just don't understand how He's going to do that. You don't need to know how. See, that's the problem. You want to know how. Well, how are we going to do this? No, just take the steps. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. It's the steps. The steps of a good, the steps of the righteous are ordered. Amen. Well, you know, we need to plan. Yes, I'm not saying you don't need to plan. I'm saying plan with God. You sure need to plan. Fail to plan, plan to fail. But you need to do that with God. So I just believe, let me just tell you, I believe there's a lot of new chapters in the room today. I could almost pick you out right now. There's a lot of new chapters in the room today. Okay? There's a lot of new chapters today. So I'm going to give you a prophetic word right now. So if you just thought, yeah, and I'm one of them, here's thus saith the Lord right now. It's water walking time. It's water walking time. Yeah, but you don't know how hard it's been. You don't know how miserable it is. I don't know how this could ever change. I'm so far under the pile. I said, it's water walking time. You got to get out of the boat. Because He's standing out there waiting for you. The rock is standing on the water. The one who knows everything, who created everything, who does everything that needs to be done correctly, is waiting for you to get out of the boat and walk on the water.
Wow.
It is true. That's our word for now. Listen, do you realize that there's only one place in the Bible where Jesus' mother, Mama Mary, where they actually record her speaking? There's only one place. John 2:5, wedding at Cana. His mother said unto the servants, "Whatever He says for you to do, do it." Whatever He says for you to do, do it. So the first miracle, and that day is the first miracle is that day that something natural and common became something rare. Today is January 12th, and it's 11:11. It's just hit 11:11 right now. Four ones up right there. Right now is your day to step out of the boat.
Amen.
You're like, "Well, I'll get on to it Monday evening after." No. Jesus is the author. And He's here right now to start your trail.
Amen.
All the things that we got dressed for in the last 6 weeks, now you're ready.
Amen.
Now you're ready. You get your vision board out or your phone vision. You can get one on your phone. I have mine on my iPad and my phone. Yeah, it's really cool. I'll show you the app. So anyway, they probably pay me for telling everybody that. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I was just kidding. No ugly letters. Now, so you're getting it out right now because we're ready. We know how to pray. We know how to use our faith. We know who starts it and we know who ends it. So it's a done deal.
Amen.
All right. So whatever he tells you to do, do it. Well, he does need your help, actually. You have to do it. He won't do it by himself. You have to participate. Amen. But he doesn't need your help. That's right. Now she's going in the thinking part. Yeah. He doesn't need you to try to toil about it. Oh, Lord, what are we going to do? I don't know how this is going to work. Will we do it on the time? Will we be ready? No, you're going to be ready because you are ready.
Whew.
I just heard this. This is just going to land right in someone's lap. Just what they've been waiting for years is just going to roll right over into what they need it to be. So now walk with me a little further. Remember, something common is going to turn into something rare, right? Jesus, the author, is present. The goal looks impossible. First thought, not enough time. Not enough time. Can't make it to the Cana market and back with the wine. You know, the Cana market. H-E-B Cana. Okay. Can't do that. So there's not enough time for the short run. Okay, and now they're talking about making the wine? How's that going to work? So they're going to make wine? So that would take a long, long, long time. And they're gathering up all these pots. Oh, but the rock is here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the rock's here.
So good.
Okay, so the rock is here. So, in general, it takes 3 to 5 years to make any kind of wine. Just that stuff that has the screw cap on it and stuff like that, you know, it just takes 3 to 5 years. But if you want the good stuff, it'll take 7 years. But if you want the really good stuff, 10, 20, or 30 years.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember what the head of the wedding said?
Yeah.
He said, you saved the best for last. So they're getting the good stuff. This is not a promotion to drink wine, okay? This is what they did. That's not what we do. Okay. So, but he said the best. So in his first public miracle, the rock, Jesus, produced the finest quality wine in a split second. In just a moment of time, when it would have normally taken decades. So, if you're concerned that you don't have enough time to accomplish your dreams, you need to remember, just as Jesus sped up this wine-making process, God can do a split-second miracle that would otherwise take many years. Listen. You're sitting right now for us. He wiped away 7 years of payments in one day on this building. And then a couple of years later, he wiped out the other end of it. We've been debt-free in this building for years. Why? Because Jesus was the author of it, and he finished paying it off. He did it. Yeah. Yeah. He started it. He did it. You can sit here right now and think of things he did like that for you. He started it with you. He finished it. I can remember way back, if I can talk about this with y'all, y'all get it. And we drove Subarus, Honda Accords and all that. And they're good cars and everything. But I remember a real estate agent came and picked me and my friend Deb Field up one day. We were going to go look at some property. And she came in a Lexus RX 350. And it was so comfortable. You could get in and out of it real easy. I found out after all these years that means radiant crossover. It's radiant crossover, just like the name. It's kind of like my countertop in my house. I have this granite on it, and the name of the granite is Revelation.
Yeah.
So I like things with good names. I hope you do too. But we got in that car and we're like, oh man, this is good. I have a car like this. Could we ever have a car like this? But the author and the finisher brought the car. And the car was debt-free. And then the next one was debt-free. And then the next one was debt-free. Now, that had to do with seed being sown into a vehicle, into one of our partners. So we had a harvest coming, but he did it. See, it's part of what you're going to be led out to do is to sow a seed. Whatever it is, words, finances, an act that you do, you're always going to be called to sow some kind of seed. But the author and the finisher did it. And now we're about to do another one. Mm-hmm. He's going to do it. The author and the finisher gave me a home, and it's debt-free. Yeah. He gave you one. So, hey, if you have a 20-year note on your house right now, can you have, well, one, two people had some faith for that.
Yeah.
Come on, church.
Yeah.
I'm almost finished preaching this. You got to help me. He can turn the water into wine.
Yeah.
He can take you further and more quickly than you could ever imagine. And we need to get back on this. We had some years where it was like we were fighting the oppression and trying to push through all the junk that was around us. We're clear sailing right now, and you better sail. And then you better get out there and get out of the boat and walk on the water, because it's time to do it now. In this next season, in these next 4 years, health will come to you. Wealth will come to you. Influence, you'll influence people for the kingdom. Souls will be saved. Yes. Things will begin to move around for you. If you have a court case against you, it'll go away in Jesus' name.
To your satisfaction.
Amen. If you put your faith in Jesus, amen. The rock. The one who does it all.
Amen.
Get this out of your thinking. I don't know how that could happen. Get it out.
Yeah.
And get this out of your thinking. Well, I don't think God works that way. Well, read the Bible.
Amen.
Get out of your religion and read the Bible.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
He'll do it.
Yeah.
He'll do it. It doesn't have to be slow. Well, you know, we need to learn patience. Well, I'll teach you some patience real quick. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It comes out in a force. It's a force of the Spirit, and you employ it, and it works. It's a consistent way of living. It's not waiting. It's a consistent way of living while you may be waiting, but it's not waiting. All the fruits of the Spirit are forces that you need to use. You have a hard time loving somebody? Love is the number one fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit will make you shut up ugly talk about people. That was free. Now, church, be encouraged that the God we serve knows how to speed up natural laws.
Yes.
He does.
He does.
Have you ever heard someone say, I was in an accident, and when the car rolled, did everything, but when it was all over, I was just standing on the outside.
Yeah.
I've heard that story over and over and over and over in my life. What happens? Time sped up. Particles moved.
Yeah.
Angels were on the scene. God saved the people.
Yes.
I've heard that story over and over and over. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Jesus is coming.
Yes, He is.
Jesus is coming. The Bible says the days will be shortened anyway. So why not just step into what belongs to you? He's coming. Why don't we get this thing wrapped up?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not ready yet. I haven't had all the success I want. Well, go ahead and just have it right now. Go ahead and start having it. Go ahead. You're seated at that table.
Yes.
You're seated at that table. What are you waiting for?
Yes.
I hear that in my spirit. What are you waiting for? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. It said that he's got a table out. He's prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemy.
Right.
In the enemy has to watch you eat the good stuff.
Boom. Boom, boom, boom.
Further and more quickly. That's what I'm believing for. So here's your scripture for it. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him. Everybody went, oh, must be in the house already. Now to him is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. The power that works in us. That's your faith.
Yes. Yeah.
That's your faith. You have faith in what he's doing. He can do exceeding abundantly above that. So at least start thinking and asking. Think with God. Don't just think about God. Don't work for God. Work from God. We got to stop doing things the hard way. I'm not quite tired of Christmas movies yet. Me and Hector, we like them. So I was watching one last night about the Christmas Lodge. The Christmas Lodge, yes. It wasn't quite as corny as the others, so it was really, but it was, I don't know. Anyway, here's my point. So the girl comes to help the guy fix the house, and she brings the construction crew. And they show up with the trailer and the ladders, and they're out there doing all this stuff. But what does she do? Okay, so they get some C-clamps, and they're putting up this piece of cedar up on a beam, because I guess they're wrapping the beam. You know what I'm talking about. So she crawls up on the ladder, and she puts the nails up there and goes, tap, 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 tap. And I thought, are you kidding me? You just brought a construction crew with you? You brought the big tractor with you? You can't tell me that inside that trailer there wasn't a nail gun. And she's up there with her Barbie hammer. Listen, don't knock the Barbie hammer. I have one. John, you use the big hammer. I use a Barbie hammer. But the nail gun's better. Am I right? The nail gun's always going to be better. His power's always going to be better.
Always.
The big tractor's coming.
Yes.
Deb tried to mow the ministry lot. I tell that because there's visitors here when I'm talking about the big tractor. Deb is trying to mow. The grass was this high. She's pushing a lawnmower that took us about 15 times to get started, you know, that kind of stuff. And she's pushing it around. And here comes the county worker on a great big lawnmower. And he says, ma'am, move out of the way. I can take care of that. And he mows that. Remember, Penny, when we were over in Reedville, we had that little house over there. He mowed it down and it was done. The big tractor came. Deb come running down there. A big tractor came. I think I ought to write a book called The Big Tractor's Coming. The big tractor, he's come over and over. The big tractor comes over and over. The big tractor is coming. The big tractor is coming. The big tractor is coming. Jesus' name. Big tractor's coming. But it's what you had to do. You had to start. In other words, you had to get on with the author. But Deb got on with the author. But he finished it. He finished it. But let me tell you this. Who helped him finish it? Mm-hmm. Things get said. Okay, I'll finish. So, the one who starts you out on the faith project is already sitting at the finish line.
Oh, wow.
So, keep your mouth right. Start with him. Make some plans. Say something every day. A thank you. Remember, we said this year out of this house is going to pour gratitude. All the time we're going to be grateful. But he's going to finish it. You don't have to come up at the end of the year, the end of the 4 years, and not having been in the total great awakening. Because cars and lands and properties and all that, they're all wonderful. But when we get to face Jesus, the greatest thing we will have done is participated in the Great Awakening and helped people. And I know that's your heart. And I'm glad he's doing all the other stuff for you, but the Great Awakening is here. And so we're going to follow his plan. We're going to say what we need to say. So he'll get you doing right. He'll get you comfortable. He'll get you some finances. He'll provide. Just seek the kingdom.
Yeah.
Do what he wants you to do. You don't have to, you'll just know. You'll just know. And he'll just know. And he'll fill it in. He'll fill in every blank. When they told me I was going into the ministry, I didn't know I was. I was just talking. I wanted to tell everybody that God was good. I've had just the living room just filled up with people that God, but what did God do? Divine appointments along the way. Divine appointments along the way. Ended up working in the right places. Met Debbie, who led us to, we went to church with her for a little while. And then we ended up with someone else who began to tell us in prophetic words what we were called to do. Deb started leading praise and worship everywhere we went. We were children's pastors in Austin, Texas. Met them. But then we met John Holler, my pastor, who raised us up and taught us what we needed to know to actually function in the church and lead in the church like we needed to. All those were just steps of the Lord. All those steps. You know what it was? God led us, you better get this, He led us to someone who believed in us.
That is good.
Someone who believed in what we were doing. Remember, my name was circled in red. I thought I was in trouble. I was sitting at the restaurant. I looked at his book. I said, why is my name circled in red? He said, oh, because I circled names in red of who could be senior pastors. And my name was circled. And I went, somebody believes in me. Now, that's the same thing that happened to him. He was a little kid, 10 or 11, and he went to a fiddling contest, and he played the guitar for someone who they were playing fiddles, and so he played that music. And when he was done, the fiddle player said, son, you got perfect rhythm. That lodged in him.
Yeah.
And he has produced more musicians than I can even talk about. His sons still produce them. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, someone who believes in you. If you're sitting here wondering who that is, I do.
Amen.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
I believe in your calling. I believe in your calling. I believe in what God wants you to do. I believe it. I believe that we can get you to where you want to go. I believe you can be the best leader, the best boss, the best veterinarian, the best banker, the best wealth management, whatever it is that you want to do, the best preacher, the best praise and worship leader, the best wife, the best child, whatever it is. I believe we're a group of people that can do it. I believe in you. I believe that baby right there will be as strong as his name is. It's funny, she's resting her hand on her and it's all the way up here. Cute. Praise the Lord. Join up with him, church. When we travel, it's travel stories today. When we travel, we like this company. When you get to these places, then you got to sign up for tours. Am I right? Okay, so Viator is a good travel company. So you sign up with Viator to go into St. Peter's or the Vatican or wherever you are in the world. You sign up for these tours and they take you so you can get all the knowledge you want to get. You have a tour director, right? Mm-hmm. Well, now I have a point. There's this called Skip the Line.
Yeah.
You can go on a Skip the Line tour. I'm trying to tell you something right now. Church, skip the line. Skip the line. The favor of God Almighty is on our lives. Skip the line. Skip the hard stuff. Focus in so hard on Him and listen to Him that you're not out wavering and getting disgusted and playing the name game and all that junk. Just listen to Him. Just love like He loves. Just believe like He does. Get in the skip the line place. Some of them serve breakfast. Just do it. Just get in the skip the line. Just move in the skip the line. You're like, well, I don't think that's fair to the rest of the people on the world. Favor ain't fair, honey. It's because somebody loves you. And don't sit up here and get all self-righteous on me. I'm telling you, when you love someone, you'll use them first. You'll go to them first. Yeah, you will. It's in our nature. Just go ahead and claim the favor of God. Now, it's available for everyone. But you got to take advantage of it. If you want to have exceeding abundantly, you got to claim favor with people.
Yeah.
You'll have, because your whole life involves people.
True.
And if you sit around saying nobody likes me, everybody hates me, it's exactly what you're going to have. You're going to have to go in places and get around people and go, I'm favored. People see the anointing on my life. I can move forward in this because God is with me, because the author and the finisher of my faith is with me. Do you receive this today? Stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are the author and the finisher of our faith, that you are our rock, that we have truth living on the inside of us, that we can know what's been, what is, and what will be. Father, we know that when we declare it and you're in on it, it's already done. And so we thank you for that, Lord. And we declare today that we believe for exceeding abundantly all that we can think or ask and more in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we step out on the water, we walk on the water, and Father, we thank you that things that are common become rare in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.